The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only.
This is Amanda LaPlante, and you're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. And I fought with chronic mental and physical health issues for decades, and everything changed a few years ago. I changed the way I ate, the way I lived, the way I loved. I took on new areas of my life and took charge of it, and my doctors were amazed at the results. And when I saw what was possible, I wanted to pay it forward, so I became a certified integrative health coach, and now I'm on a big mission to illuminate the healing potential within us all and the powerful impact that food, lifestyle, and mindset play in our health. I invite you to settle in and devote the next 26 minutes of your well-being to your well-being, and let's empower your inner health detective and learn about root cause approaches to prevention and healing. You are listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH 92.9 FM. With me today, Dr. Michael Twyman, board-certified cardiologist, focuses on the prevention and early detection of heart disease. Heart attack prevention is his passion, and utilizing the best of conventional medicine, integrative and functional medicine, quantum medicine, and biohacking, he works to get to the root cause of your cardiovascular issues. Dr. Twyman can help you live your optimal life, and that's exactly what he's been doing for me as my doctor and also as a colleague for the last few years. How are you, Dr. Twyman? Welcome to the show.
Doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How's our audio? You know, for anyone that's listening on the radio, we're doing something ambitious, and we're trying to simulcast to Facebook today through Zoom. So might be getting a little bit of feedback. How are you on that end?
I'm doing good here. I hear you fine, and looks like it's pretty synced up.
All right. Fantastic. All right. So a lot of people are concerned about 5G. And this is something that you and I have talked about before, and I know that, you know, with you being an expert in quantum medicine, you know, I thought it would be great to have you on and just have a discussion about that. It's a big subject, so where to begin is always the interesting question, right? But I guess we could start at the beginning with cellular technology. It's a relatively, you know, new thing in the span of human history, and we know it's impacted our society and our way of life in huge ways, but how do these types of technologies impact our health, or how have they been impacting our health?
That's a great question, and it's something that, you know, previously they were only really looking at the kind of effects of ionizing radiation. So ionizing radiations, X-rays, gamma rays, those are things that actually break DNA strands and more likely to cause malignancies. The less intense radio frequencies tended to be just looked at for just their thermal effects, or how much did they heat up the cells. So, you know, to kind of, you know, give people an idea, you know, light is, you know, primordial to health. And there's this invisible spectrum of light, and then there's the light that you can't see. So infrared is heat. So you feel heat. That's basically a form of red light that you can't see. X-rays and gamma rays, people know what those are. Those pass right through you. And then we're talking on a radio station right now. Those are, you know, different forms of waves. And they're just waves you know, eyes do not see, but your body does perceive.
Okay. All right, so all of that energy passing through us, right? What are some of the ways that that might be affecting our health that we knew of already? And then we can dive into 5G and why it's different.
Sure. I mean, you know, there was actually a study that, you know, kind of finalized their data last year called the NTP study, the National Toxicology Program. It's a federally funded study. And it was looking at the effects of 2G and 3G radiation on mice and rats. And it actually showed clear evidence of it causing malignancies, specifically heart tumors in male rats. There were some suggestions it was also causing some brain tumors and some tumors in the adrenal glands, but not as definitive as the heart tumors. And so 2G and 3G we've been using for, you know, since the early 2000s. That's still going to be around even when 5G goes live. And these things are showing that there were some biological effects. So that's the big concern about when 5G goes live, are we still going to see those same types of effects or even worse?
You know, I'm thinking about when I lay down, you know, in bed. And by the way, I know better. I should not be doing this in bed, but I lay down with my phone and I'll be reading something on it. And I set it right on my chest as I'm laying down and looking at it, not even probably thinking about, right? None of us are thinking about the fact that that's right next to my heart and what's happening.
Sure. Well, I actually do think about it. In my old life as a general cardiologist rounding in the hospitals, you know, you always had like a little pocket on your white lab coat, and that's usually where you would keep your cell phone. And then once I start reading all this data, it's like, there's no way I'm keeping my cell phone in my pocket anymore. But I've seen that a handful of times where women, you know, they store their phone in their bra when they're working out or something like that, and these women have palpitations, it's probably from their cell phones.
I mean, you know, it's such a simple solution to such a really scary problem.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So, and when you talk about heart cancer, heart malignancies, how common is that outside of this issue?
Extremely rare. I've maybe seen one case in my training. It's not something that you would normally see.
Okay. All right. So we've got this NTP study, correct, that has shown some concerns with 2G and 3G, right? And then now moving forward, you know, what kinds of studies are being done on 4G and, you know, these newer technologies?
There's honestly not a whole lot. In 1996, the FCC passed a law where they really didn't have to do clinical outcome studies for patient care before they released these technologies. So there's not necessarily ongoing studies. There's people trying to put them together, but there's nothing that was shown that 5G is, quote, safe, and now it's okay to be rolled out. It's more that they roll it out, and if there's problems, then they have to dial it back.
Wow. Okay. So we know there's some concerns with these previous technologies now, you know, and it's amazing that, yeah, we've been using something for this long and just now having studies to be able to show that, okay, there might be some issues here. Now we're rolling out this new technology. And what makes 5G different from the previous versions?
So 5G is just the fifth generation of the cell phone technology. Sometimes people think the G stands for gigahertz. That's not what it means. You know, 4G came out in 2009. 5G is starting to roll out right now. The major difference is, you know, the amount of data that can be transferred on the wave. So 4G was about 10 megabits per second. 5G might be up to 20 to 20 gigabits per second. So you're going to have much faster download speeds and less latency. So streaming videos is going to happen much, much faster. The major reason that 5G probably even needs to be developed is just the Internet of Things. All these things have the capabilities of talking to each other. It just requires a lot more bandwidth to transmit all that data. And that's basically what 5G is being developed for.
Okay. And with AI and so many other ambitious, you know, technologies on the forefront, I guess that would be the reason to roll something like this out.
Correct. And there's different things about the waveform. You know, people can hear this, they're not going to know, but like, you know, most waves are like sine, they're kind of up and down, up and down. There's certain 5G ones that are like little squares that the engineers have developed to be able to hold more data. There's nothing natural about those square waves in nature. So those square waves are hitting your skin and your body's interpreting that in a different way than natural waves would be hitting your skin.
Okay. this is all interesting and maybe a little scary for a lot of us. Can we back up to, you mentioned mitochondria a minute ago.
I usually do.
For people who are new to this, talk a little bit about mitochondrial health and why that matters.
Sure. So the mitochondria are the things inside your cells that make energy. The three major places that the mitochondria are, you know, your brain, your heart, so much your immune system, skeletal system. But, you know, 1/3 of your heart by weight is mitochondria. So mitochondria are like sensors for the environment. They're sensing all these different light frequencies. And the Earth has its own natural frequency, the Schumann resonance. It's 7.83 hertz. So basically seven cycles in 1 second. Mitochondria know what to do with that. That's actually what the alpha wave in your brain is, that 7.83 hertz. These cell phone signals are in the gigahertz, billions of times a second, these waves are oscillating. And so the mitochondria are getting bombarded with these high frequencies, and that just disrupts the way the mitochondria make energy.
Okay, so of course, if the energy production is disrupted, the ultimate potential results are?
It depends where the mitochondria fail, but you know, if it's in your brain, you potentially get a neurologic issue, you know, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. In your heart, you know, you get a cardiomyopathy, weak heart, you get, you know, blockages in your heart arteries, coronary disease, you know, in your immune system, you get an autoimmune condition. So wherever the mitochondrial break is where you get your health problems.
So we've seen these technologies emerging over the last, say, you know, 20 plus years. Really, I don't know when was the first cell phone, but, you know, so over the last few decades, and we've concurrently seen the rise in a multitude of diseases, probably from, you know, it's probably multifactorial, right?
Sure.
But reasonable to suspect that this is really actually a much bigger issue than people have given it credit to be.
I would definitely agree with that assessment, is that, you know, there's just a huge upsurge in diabetes and autoimmune conditions over the past 20 years, and it can't be all accounted by just that the diet changed that dramatically. People were still eating junk food 20 years ago. The only thing that's significantly changed the last 20 years is our relationship to our technologies.
And in big, big ways. Okay, so clearly a lot of concerns around technology, and it's not just the wavelengths, right? But we talked about blue light and just light spectrums in general quite a bit on previous visits to the show. And thank you so much for being such an amazing guest on Get Real to Heal. For anyone that's listening and wants to go back and check out Dr. Twyman on some of his past episodes, he's shared some amazing information on here. You can go to soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal anytime and check that out. But touch on that a little bit just for people that, you know, it's not just the wavelengths, it's more than that.
Sure. So just for those that haven't listened to previous ones, you know, my big, kind of aha moment was, you know, in 2017, I was doing some flying over to Thailand. It's a long flight. I want to try to figure out how to improve the jet lag mitigation, and came upon that if you wore these funny colored glasses, maybe the jet lag wouldn't be that bad. And it's mainly that blue spectrum of light that was affecting the jet lag. That blue light in the sun is fine, but the blue light from the technology where we're communicating over right now affects a certain receptor in the eye. It's called the melanopsin receptor. You also have that on your skin. If the melanopsin receptor sees blue light, certain signals get sent to the body that, hey, it's daytime. If you're getting exposed to blue light after the sun sets, your body still thinks it's daytime, and you make hormones inappropriately. You'll have high cortisol levels, low melatonin levels. Melatonin is a hormone that basically initiates sleep, but it's the hormone that basically lets the mitochondria start repairing themselves. Blue light is just one wavelength of light. It has a certain energy, but that energy can disrupt melatonin. 5G has a lot more energy, so if blue light can do it, 5G is for sure going to affect the way your body affects melatonin.
Okay, So it's also affecting our mitochondrial health, our melatonin. It's affecting a lot of things here. It's starting to really add up for me. All right. So one of the things that I'm seeing pop up on Facebook, because now all of a sudden, you know, with coronavirus and the pandemic and everything that's going on, everybody's looking for conspiracy theories and what's going on. And, you know, I've seen some things like that. It, you know, robs our mitochondria, robs our cells of hydration. This technology, I've seen several other things. You've probably seen a few of them as well. Like, what are some of the misnomers or the myths, or is there some truth to some of these things that we're seeing?
It's a great question. And, you know, people want to, you know, have answers. But it's more nuanced in that 5G is not the cause of, you know, COVID-19. Now, does it contribute to people's immune systems and their ability to fight off, you know, the virus if they're infected? That's definitely possible. There's not going to be studies that show that yet, but plausible that if your body is getting bombarded by, you know, not even 5G, but, you know, 3G, 4G, which, you know, I should say 2G and 3G, which is shown in the NTP study, you know, you're sitting in Wi-Fi all day long, you're not outside in Mother Nature, your immune system doesn't work as well. Two reasons. One, your immune system is programmed by light, so if you're in natural sunlight, your T regulator cells that are on your skin get the right information and know what to do. The other thing is your immune system is highly active while you sleep. If you interact with technology throughout the day, don't protect your eyes from artificial light at night, and don't sleep well, your immune system is going to be compromised. You're more prone to get any type of virus, especially, you know, highly virulent ones. And there's just data that show that people who have, you know, low vitamin D levels, which was not surprised to myself, or people I've trained under, low vitamin D level people you know, that just means your immune system isn't working well. And it also just means your body's not necessarily getting exposed to enough sunlight to augment your immune system. So to backtrack, no, 5G is not the cause of COVID-19, but all electromagnetic frequencies might have a role in affecting your immune regulation.
That's a great answer to a complicated question. Absolutely. So, all right, we know that we can wear glasses to protect our eyes from certain spectrums, right? We can do certain things to block light spectrums. When we're talking about 5G, I mean, this is something that we can't see, that we don't. What do we do to protect ourselves?
It's a great question, and it's something that's going to be kind of played out over the next few months to years. You know, I know where we're sitting right now in St. Louis, I know AT&T and Sprint already have 5G up for sure and is out. Now, I'm sure the other ones are probably have test sites up and then will be rolling it out over the next year if not already up. So just to know, what you're to be expected from a health standpoint. You know, if you're sleeping well, you have all the energy you want, you know, you have no quote medical conditions, your blood markers look good, you're probably not somebody highly susceptible. But if you're somebody who, you know, is broken and traditional medicine, functional medicine, you're not getting better, you really need to look at your environment, how your environment is impacting your mitochondria. And one of the major things that, you know, is messing the mitochondria up, that electromagnetic frequency environment. We talked about in a previous interview was, you know, the ability to test for these different electromagnetic frequencies. So I have a couple meters here with me for people who can see that, but to see these test different radio frequencies. But this box here, you know, only measures up to like 8 gigahertz. So, you know, 5G may be going up to 90 gigahertz. There are no commercially available meters available for the general public to buy to test, are they in a 5G environment? So without a meter, you don't know if you're in a 5G environment unless you got to, you know, take the cell phone company's word for it and look at the maps where the 5G maps are overlaying where you're at. So it's a complicated subject. So you want to test and know if you're in an environment, but there are no commercially available meters yet.
So we don't know what we don't know, and we can't test for it either.
Correct.
Great.
That's correct.
That sounds great. Okay. We should definitely roll this out immediately, in my opinion. Anyway, so backing up, there was another thing that I had read about and talked about a while ago, talking about like just grounding. That's one of the things that helps me with my autoimmunity, anxiety, lots of things, is just to go outside and put my feet in the grass and connect with the earth. As hippie as that sounds, it totally works. And there are many good reasons why, and I'm sure you can explain those. But I've heard that 5G could create issues with that as well. Is that true?
That is true. So earthing grounding is just when you're outside and your feet are connected to Mother Nature's surfaces. So sand, grass, you know, rock, things where your body is actually physically connected to the earth. Humans are only, you know, animals on the earth that really don't purposely ground. All other animals, they usually sleep on the ground for a particular reason. Too complicated, but, you know, the electrons that make energy flows in the mitochondria. You can get electrons from the foods that you eat, but you can also get it from standing on the ground. Those negative electrons in the earth will come up through your feet and essentially charge up your mitochondria. This is one of the reasons when you're on a beach vacation, you may not necessarily feel as hungry because you literally are getting energy from the earth. But the benefits of grounding were before man-made electromagnetic frequencies were so ubiquitous. You know, I talked about earlier, your mitochondria are always sensing the environment. You know, they can sense that Schumann frequency. But if you put in all these 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G, the body has a much harder time sensing the natural environment. And then the other problem with 5G, it can do something called jump conduction. So it can jump from, a different metallic surface to, you know, buried wires that you might be standing under. Don't know if you're standing over it. And not necessarily you're going to get electrocuted, but you're not going to get the benefit, and it may actually be like your body's in a microwave instead of you getting the natural healing frequencies that you're expecting.
Okay.
Not exciting to hear, I'm sure.
I'm picturing the scene from Indiana Jones where, like, the Ark comes alive and, like, everybody... nothing good is happening in my brain right now about this. Okay, so you're also... you're a Navy veteran, and... that leads me to my next potentially far out question, but now that you've explained how this can jump around, I'm thinking it might be a little more plausible than I originally thought. There's some rumor that 5G can be weaponized in sorts of ways. Have you heard anything about this?
Not in particular that the 5G itself, but, you know, the whole spectrum of electromagnetic frequencies. I mean, you know, they have certain sonic wave weapons and such, and, you know, basically they use microwave technology to disperse crowds. They're less than lethal weapons. You know, it looks like a satellite dish that they put on like a Humvee and stuff like that, and they can point it at people, and it makes them feel extremely hot, and then they disperse and get out of the way. So, you know, yes, you can use electromagnetic frequencies as a less than lethal weapon.
Okay. All right. And definitely less than savory intentions. Okay. Interesting. All right. So really, again, going back to, we don't know what we don't know. We don't know how to test for it. And now there are these potentially interesting and somewhat scary things. So there are some interesting biohackers that you follow, some really brilliant brains that are doing some pretty extreme things to protect themselves from 5G, as far as I've heard.
And that's the, you know, kind of the million-dollar question is what you can do. You know, short of moving from a city that has 5G, you know, it really depends on your own personal context. So, you know, the sicker you are, the more you're going to need to do. The more you've got to consider getting out of your local environment. Maybe your physical house is, you know, the problem. Move somewhere else in your city. Or if your city is already 5G and you're not getting better, you need to move from your city where they don't have 5G. But start with the basics first, you know. Get back to Mother Nature. Reset your circadian rhythms. Get outside in the sun. Protect yourself from blue light when you're using technology. You know, you're not going to be able to necessarily get away from 5G completely. But some of the mitigation things, you know, water is a perfect Faraday cage. So, you know, go out swimming. When you're in water, you're not, you know, the millimeter waves are not penetrating the water. You know, if you were going to actually, quote, protect your house, it sort of depends on where they're rolling the 5G out at and how they're going to disperse it, because it's going to be different in each location. Some locations are going to use it from satellite and they're going to beam it down. So you'd have to protect your roof so it's not coming through your roof. Mainly want to definitely protect the place where you're sleeping, because that's where you're spending 8 hours a day recovering. So, you know, I'm not a tin hat expert or like that, but I mean, you may consider a metal roof that would reflect, you know, any microwave waves coming down from satellites. In more densely populated areas, you're not going to be able to do that way. So they're going to have to have repeaters, you know, a couple of them on each block. So you're going to have to kind of know where the repeaters are, or the cell towers are in your neighborhood, to know how to kind of mitigate the wall that's facing them.
Okay. And again, this is just case by case basis. If you've got somebody like me that has numerous autoimmune diseases and is trying to keep them under control without getting on a ton of medications, then, you know, it might be wise for me to look into things like this a little bit more versus someone who is healthy and really not dealing with any kinds of issues. Just to reiterate that.
And it's not a perfect metric, but, you know, if you're not doing well where you're at, go somewhere south, you know, places that, you know, generally is healthier for most people is, you know, near the Cancun, Playa del Carmen region. Yeah, 5G is apparently starting to roll out in parts of that area, but you have a lot of great sun. You can still earth and ground for now there. And there's some other, you know, reasons we can get into later if people are interested. But, you know, if you go down there for a week, 10 days, and you feel a lot better, and then you come back to St. Louis or wherever you're from and you feel worse, look at what's going on in your environment.
We had one more question on Facebook that I wanted to get to, and we're getting close on time, just a couple minutes left. But a short answer on, you know, does this affect disproportionately like seniors and kids versus people in the middle of the age range?
That's a good question. I don't really know the exact percentages, but, you know, if you look at it in all comers, it's going to affect the people who have the weaker mitochondria. So by average, your mitochondria, they get weaker by about 10% every decade of life. So this is why chronic diseases tend to hit 50, 60, 70-year-olds, because the mitochondria start breaking by that point. But if somebody starts breaking earlier in their 20s and 30s, or maybe their mom was very sick, you inherit your mitochondria from your mom, so that's your starting block. You're exposed to all these different EMFs, everything else in your environment, and then you start breaking when you're 20, 30. Well, it's sort of, the litmus test is how healthy was your mom and how healthy was your mom's mom. If they're very healthy, you're probably a good starting block. But if those two people were sick, you need to kind of red flag, you might be more at risk.
That's great advice and good information. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today, Dr. Michael Twyman. How can people reach out to you or find you online?
Thank you for having me. It's great as always to interact and talk about interesting topics. But I'm the founder of Apollo Cardiology. I practice heart attack and stroke prevention here in Clayton, Missouri. I'm very active online, mainly on Instagram and Facebook, at Dr. Twyman, T-W-Y-M-A-N, is how you spell my name. I'm pretty active there, so if you want to send me a direct message, happy to interact with you guys.
Awesome. Thanks again. Thank you for listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH 92.9 FM. I work with clients as individuals or in groups as in a client-centered process, and I empower them to achieve their goals related to health and wellness in all of its aspects, looking at the whole person. So if that resonates with you, reach out to me anytime and let's set up a free consult. My number is 314-583-6749. This is Amanda LaPlante, and I also invite you to follow me on social media for helpful tips, resources, and encouragement on your health journey. Just catch me on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube at Get Real to Heal. Make it a great day.